Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
From the lakefront to the riverfront, this is where Wisconsin sports fans come to talk. The Bill Michaels Show. Now, here's your host, Bill Michaels.
Show on the air. We are so glad on this Wednesday that you are hanging out with us. We always appreciate it. And I'm Bill Michaels, Radio Joe Zanzola across the way. Evan Heffelfinger and company going to be behind the glass. We start full time next week, so I'm looking forward to having Evan here. Good dude. He's earned his spot into the program. So Evan Heffelfinger is going to be with us. I want to let you know that coming up here in just a little bit, we are going to be talking to Jim Paschke, the Bucs television voice on Fox Sports Wisconsin, as we're going to get a preview as to what the Bucs season has to offer. Before we do anything, before we get into that, we got to talk a little bit more about the Badgers. We just got done talking to Jim Polzin of the State Journal a little while ago. And one of the things that we started discussing was this obvious upcoming game against Ohio State. Now, when you look at the Badgers' schedule, I think you just circle Ohio State and say, look, the way this defense is playing, if they can continue to pitch one or two more shutouts, if Jonathan Taylor continues to do what he's doing, if Jack Cohn continues to play very steady, very progressive football, and if they can beat Ohio State, sitting at number six in the country, there is no reason this team can't be considered one of the top four. The final. This is – I give Paul Christ all the credit in the world because nobody – now, this season's not over. But nobody saw this coming. Nobody, I don't think. I mean, they did inside those walls at Camp Randall, but nobody saw this coming. That this would be, this team could be this steady, this balanced, this good. Now, Zach Bond has been the leader over on defense. Jack Cohn, Jonathan Taylor certainly have been the leaders on offense. And this... it's almost like you don't dare to dream if you're a Badger fan. And my question is, why not? Why not? It's going to come down to the Ohio State game. Because if you beat Ohio State, then you're let's just say this, okay? Let's say you play Ohio State at the Shoe and you lose, say, 27-24. Late in the ballgame, Ohio State gets a drive and you barely lose to the number four ranked team in the country. Okay? Where does that drop you? You're only going to go down maybe a space or two, right? So let's say your final four at the time, when you get into the rankings, okay? So you come to the end of the season and the only blemish on your record is Ohio State, right? Which, by the way, Ohio State was number three in the country. And now they're sitting at number four. And then Clemson has fallen a spot. They're down to number three. And then LSU gets the win over the weekend, and they jump up three spots. I don't know. They beat the Florida Gators. Kudos to them. But, okay, whatever. So my point being is, let's just say Ohio State's number three or number four. Because I don't know. I don't picture Alabama losing. Maybe LSU takes it on. Because LSU I just never believe in. Maybe LSU takes it on the chin. They got Mississippi State. They still have to play number 11 Auburn, and they still have to play Alabama. So that's going to kind of take care of itself. You know what I mean? So I don't believe LSU is going to be there by the time it's all said and done. Clemson, when you look at their schedule, they're probably going to win out. They don't even play another ranked team the rest of the way. Louisville, Boston College, what is it, Wofford, NC State, Wake Forest, and South Carolina. South Carolina, maybe, because they play at South Carolina, maybe on the road. That might give them a little bit of a problem. But they're not going to – I don't think they're going to lose. Alabama is Alabama. And Alabama still has to play 10. Only thing Alabama has left on their schedule, they've got the Iron Bowl, obviously, at the end of the season with Auburn. And they do have to play LSU. Maybe that's where LSU proves how good they are, and they stay in the top four, and Alabama drops out. But they on their docket, they have Tennessee, Arkansas, LSU, Mississippi State. What the hell is WCU? Western Carolina? The Catamounts. The Catamounts they have on their... That's their second-to-last game before they play the Iron Bowl against Auburn. Okay, let's just say Alabama wins out. So LSU loses, Clemson wins out, and then you have Ohio State who moves up to, say, number three. Okay, let's just go with that for a minute. And Ohio State, in a close one, at the shoe, beats Wisconsin. Wisconsin, because then Oklahoma would maybe move up to number four. LSU falls out. Wisconsin sitting at number five on the outside looking in, right? Right, okay. So Wisconsin has one loss. I don't think Notre Dame gets more exception than Wisconsin does because of Wisconsin's schedule and the way they're doing it with their defense and shutting people out. So Oklahoma's sitting at number four. Ohio State be sitting at number three. The Badgers would be on the outside looking in, sitting at number five, because Oklahoma has West Virginia, Kansas State, Iowa State, Baylor, TCU, and then Oklahoma State. That's who they play. And nobody ranked, by the way. No, wait a minute. I take that back. I think they do have somebody ranked on their schedule. Who's still ranked on their schedule? Baylor. Baylor's number 18 in the country. So anyway, my point being, then you get to the Big Ten championship game. Neutral site. And Wisconsin wins that ball game, say, by seven. Wisconsin then legitimately becomes a Final Four team, in my opinion. Agree or disagree? 855-830-8648. 855-830-8648. What do you think? Are the Wisconsin Badgers, from where we were at the beginning of the season, saying, get to 8 to 9 wins, call it a good year. Now we're talking about the possibility of being a Final Four team. Joe, do you see it playing out that way? Let's just say they lose at Ohio State in a close one, which you can't then discredit them a lot for because they played a top four team and they barely lost. But they beat Ohio State, neutral site, in the Big Ten championship game. That launches them into the Final Four, yes or no?
I think it does. But again, I think it also hinges on what some of these other teams do around them. I think that's really the only way. If you do lose to Ohio State in a close game the first time around, beat them the second time around, I think that would still be enough to warrant them to represent the Big Ten and be there in the college football playoff. I mean, you cannot slip up really against anyone else on this schedule. You certainly cannot slip up against Illinois or Purdue or even Iowa, who's a respectable team. And Minnesota, I don't buy into Minnesota at all. I know they're 6-0. I know they're ranked, but we saw how much they struggled against non-conference opponents this year, and I kind of expect Minnesota to slip up at some point, and you'll get them in the final Big Ten game of the year. But I just think at this point, as we've learned here about the Wisconsin Badgers, yes, they are more respected nationally, but at the end of the day, you have to win every game. You got to win every game if you're Wisconsin. You don't get as many second chances as some of these other teams that – you know, have the history, have the national championships under their belt, and play in conferences like the ACC or the SEC. All of that plays into this as well. For the Badgers, they have to take care of their own business. For me, I think right now with this question, is it too early to talk about college football playoff? I still think it is a little premature just because, yes, the Badgers look like a very special team. I just don't know how they stack against Ohio State.
We're going to find out.
I have no clue how this is going to play out.
I'll tell you this.
Next week.
I'll tell you this. I talked to a buddy of mine. I talked to a guy that I room with named Marcus. And Marcus and I were chatting back and forth. Now, this was like 2 weeks ago. But he texted me. He said, Badgers are scary good. And I texted back. I said, the defense is unbelievable. You know, and obviously they have a good running back. He says, no, they're scary good. He said, that's what a lot of people, and Marcus still lives over in Columbus, by the way. He says, that's what a lot of people here fear, is that Wisconsin's going to get them.
Ohio State may get a rude awakening.
Yeah.
Next week.
Now, they believe they're good. And I'll tell you what, they have played some outstanding football. And they've got away with a couple. I'm not saying they're a stellar, unbeatable football team, because certainly they've got 9 votes for the top spot, and they're having a really good season. And, You know, they beat and drilled a Michigan State team at the time that was ranked 25th in the country, but they haven't beaten a ranked team other than that all season long. Then when you get down towards the end of the season, they obviously have Wisconsin, but they have number 7 Penn State, and they have number 16 Michigan still on the docket. That's what they end with in back-to-back weeks. It's very possible that they could take a couple of losses, and you still may end up with somebody else that you would face in the Big Ten championship game. However, I really believe it's going to come down to Ohio State and Wisconsin. And this game, if Wisconsin, even, and I'm not even making an excuse for them to lose, but even if, let's just say, they lose that ball game, if it's a hard-fought, really close, nail-biting ball game, and then they get them in the Big Ten championship game, I think they're in the Final Four. Although, the one thing that I'm going to be really, really impressed with is if they can stop, Justin Fields and J.K. Dobbins, this defense, that's their big test. If they can do that, if Wisconsin can shut down Fields and Dobbins, then that's you anoint them. Yeah, this is all the real deal and then some. Because I think that's one of the top duos in the country.
Yeah, and some of
between throwing the football and running the football.
Well, and some of the stats that have been able to support the Badgers, you know, we talked about the other day that, you know, you look at every major statistical category, you know, as a team defense in the country, the Badgers are number one in literally every single category. One of the other jaw-dropping stats about this Badger defense is they have as many touchdowns that they have scored, the defense, as they have given up touchdowns this season. That's incredible.
Well, Jack Cohen's going to have a huge game. He's going to have to be damn near perfect.
He's going to have to be Mr. Efficient like he has
he's
been.
He's going to have to be damn near perfect.
Right. I mean, you can't allow him to throw a couple of picks in this one against Ohio State. You can't give them extra opportunities.
By the way, because people are saying, well, it's going to be a one-loss SEC team that's going to get the extra spot. I don't believe so. I really don't. You've got, unless Florida and Georgia continue to climb, you've got a lot of teams ahead. You've got Oklahoma right now on the outside looking in, Wisconsin, Penn State, Notre Dame all sitting there. We all know the power of Notre Dame. If Notre Dame goes undefeated the rest of the season, they're going to be knocking on that door as well. Now, whether they get the recognition over a one-loss Wisconsin team, we would have to wait and see. But if Wisconsin would beat Ohio State in the Big Ten title game, Wisconsin gets the nod. What you've got now coming up, you got Notre Dame and Michigan. Then they have Virginia Tech and Duke. Navy's not a bad team. Come on, let's be real. And then you got Boston College and Stanford. And all of those teams are all unranked and not even that good. So the only game left for Notre Dame really to make any kind of a statement is going to be against Michigan. Maybe Stanford to a certain extent, but beyond that, Duke, Navy, and Boston College, that's not going to garner you much in the world of voting.
But see, here's the thing, though. With Georgia losing, yes, that helps the Badgers move up, but it also affects Notre Dame because Georgia beat Notre Dame. And that's the only loss Notre Dame has. So if Notre Dame wins out, including beating a team like Michigan, that actually makes the Badgers look even better because the Badgers have also been able to beat Michigan.
Right.
This
is the weekend that I'm actually rooting for Michigan. I want to see Notre Dame fall. Not to mention, I'm not a Brian Kelly fan.
And that would also, in a way, help the Badgers, too. If Michigan beats Notre Dame, that would also help the Badgers. But the thing is, I think that Georgia loss against an unranked South Carolina went a long way and hurt Notre Dame a little bit as they're trying to fight into this. Because the one thing about Notre Dame is we all know they don't have to play in a conference championship. Yep. Even though they're, you know, sanctioned with the ACC, they don't have to worry about any of it. So they can always sit back if they do have an undefeated season and let everything play out with these conference championships. But now they have to win out. Notre Dame has to win out to have any chance of getting in. But if the Badgers just take care of their own business, they should have the edge over Notre Dame, even with a win in the Big Ten championship.
They would have an edge. I mean, Penn State's even 6-0 ranked ahead of Notre Dame right now. And I guess if you're a Badger fan, what you would hope for is you go in and play Ohio State tough. Ohio State wins out by beating Penn State and beating Michigan. And if you play Ohio State tough there and then beat them, that's what I'm saying. Everything sets up for Wisconsin. Because win or lose against Ohio State, as long as it's a competitive game, you then have to turn around and beat them in the Big Ten championship game. But again, you have to win out, you know, the rest of your games
But then there's another dilemma here.
But if you win out, you're in anyway, regardless.
But then there's another weird dilemma here. If the Badgers lose to Ohio State, let's just say regardless of what the actual outcome is in this game, but then later on Ohio State falls to Penn State and Penn State represents the Big Ten East.
Well, then it hurts Wisconsin.
Well, and then the Badgers, let's say the Badgers beat Penn State in the Big Ten championship, and Ohio State is just sitting on the outside like, hey, we didn't have to do anything. Are they going to take Ohio State over Wisconsin?
That's why you want to play Ohio State tough and then have Ohio State win out, and therefore then you end up playing Ohio State and beating Ohio State in a Big Ten championship game, because then because then you're knocking Ohio State out and you're taking their spot.
I would hate for that situation to present itself.
Yeah.
If it's Badgers and Penn State and the Badgers had lost to Ohio State, and that's the only, and then the only loss Ohio State has is to Penn State, who the Badgers beat in the Big Ten championship.
Right.
That dilemma, I pray, does not happen. Badgers, take care of your own business.
But then again, you play Penn State. They play Penn State at the Shoe. So I was thinking they played Penn State on the road. But if the Badgers go into the Shoe and play it tough and lose that road game but win the Big Ten game, they're going to end up in the Final Four.
I would like to think so.
I would love to think
but
so.
But you never know.
Going to go and take a quick break. I've got a lot more of the Bill Michaels Show coming up. Stay tuned. Also want to remind you, this portion of the program brought to you by our friends over there at Bud Light. Don't forget, tomorrow night, 6 to 8, we're going to be at Joe Mama's. It's the Bill Michaels Huddle back on the road again, 6 to 8 tomorrow night. Brought to you by our friends at Bud Light. More of the Bill Michaels Show next.
Wisconsin-wide, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Show on the air. Man, a lot of people fired up for this Badger stuff. Holy mackerel. Get into that coming up here momentarily. Going to the championship game, can the Badgers do it? Can they be in the Final Four? Speaking of championships, we are going to be in Miami this year. Loving the fact that we're going to be there. Looking forward to it. Big time. Big time. And it's brought to you in part by our friends at Signature Limo, one of the nation's leading ground transportation providers. You can check out my friends Pat and Brooke and their whole staff. Whether it's a big party bus or just a great limo or a ride to the airport, whatever it is, they're small enough to know your name, big enough to handle your every need. Good stuff from Signature Limo. Go to booksignature.com. That's booksignature.com. Hey, I hate to say it, it's that time of year. You're going to winterize your boat. I just took mine in. I got it shrink wrap done, the oil change, the winterization. My friends at Skipper Buds, they do it better than anybody. The Ryan in service out there, he is top-notch, the one in Pewaukee, and the general manager, Todd, great to work with. But now's the time. If you're going to make a deal for next year, now's the time to do it. A lot of trade-ins. Go to skipperbuds.com. That is skipperbuds.com. And I wanted to make a mention of this. I told you this the other day. Our friends Joe and Ellen Hennis from Sloppy Joe's Saloon and Spoon out there in Hubertus, they got a great big new smoker out there, awesome brisket and ribs and steak and shrimp and great breakfast on the weekend. But they just did a great thing for the Fisher House, Wisconsin. They raised over $3,500. And kudos to them. Thanks to them as well for taking us to Super Bowl again this year. They're great people to work with. They truly are. Can the Badgers be in the Final Four? Can the Badgers be in the Final Four? Wisconsin-OSU split will knock both of them out, according to Jay Rose. See, I don't – if the Badgers fall to – if Ohio State loses, yes. If Ohio State beats Wisconsin and runs the table, and then they get to the big – and Wisconsin loses in a close one in a good-fought game over at the Shoe and then runs the table, and both of those teams meet back up in the Big Ten championship game and Wisconsin wins, Wisconsin's in. I'm telling you. Lock it up. They're in. But if Wisconsin beats Ohio State and Ohio State runs the table, and then Wisconsin goes on to run the table undefeated and then gets beat by Ohio State in the Big Ten championship game, they'll take Ohio State. Even though Wisconsin will have beaten Ohio State in the Shoe, they'll take Ohio State because that'll be the most recent win. Ohio State will just carry that swag. They just do. This is where that whole respect thing comes in. You'll just end up watching because Ohio State will have then run the table and they will have beaten the ranked team of Penn State and they will have beaten the ranked team. Well, you would figure they'd still be ranked at that point, but who knows? But they will have beaten Michigan because otherwise they have Maryland and Rutgers and Northwestern on the docket for them. They play at Northwestern. The Northwestern's a weird place to play. I've always said that. That long grass down there, that it almost is like just a glorified high school down there, man. Just a weird atmosphere. Hey, don't forget the Badgers still have Minnesota. Minnesota is unbeaten. Minnesota's unbeaten to this point. Now, Minnesota, they played Nebraska, and they crushed Nebraska. I was really stunned by that. 34-7. How far has Nebraska fallen? Holy mackerel. They beat the hell out of Illinois. On the road in Purdue, another place that's a really weird place to play down there in West Lafayette, 38-31, they knocked them off. But they've got Rutgers, Maryland, then Minnesota. They're going to earn their stripes because then they have Penn State this year. They don't play Ohio State or Michigan, but they've got Penn State this year. And they got Penn State up in Minnesota, by the way. Then they play on the road against number 23, Iowa, before they get Northwestern and then Wisconsin, and they play for Paul Bunyan's axe. So they're ranked teams come at the end of the season.
Like I said, I don't I'm not buying Minnesota at all.
Yeah.
Their schedule has been cupcake, and they're barely winning these football games. Nebraska, I think, is probably the most overrated team in the Big Ten because a lot of people were picking them to take a huge step forward this year and win the Big Ten West, and that is not the case. Scott Frost has a lot to figure out down there. But Minnesota, yeah, they're undefeated. Yeah, they're right with the Badgers there, 3-0 in the Big Ten West. I am not buying into them, and I would not be surprised if this football team fell to even a Maryland or a Rutgers. Again, look at who they've played thus far. Look at the non-conference teams Minnesota has played. They have barely survived. I don't think PJ Fleck is, you know, all of a sudden this great coach and is able to put together a really good football team. Minnesota, don't buy them at all.
I'm not buying into Minnesota. I just give them credit. They were in the doldrums. They're enjoying right now an undefeated season, and I'll let them enjoy.
It's not going to last.
I don't think so either. I think they're going to get beat by Penn State. Do you think they beat Rutgers this weekend?
Yeah, I would like to think so. But
I think they beat Rutgers, and I think they beat Maryland at home.
But again, they have played some chump opponents
Absolutely.
Up to this point,
Absolutely.
And they're barely winning.
Absolutely.
So I guess nothing would surprise me with these guys. And again, you mentioned the last few games there in their schedule. It gets even tougher for Minnesota.
Yep.
The Badgers are bringing that axe back to Madison.
I don't disagree with that.
Come after Black Friday.
The good news is it's
going to be theirs again.
The good news, though, is that Minnesota, by the time they face them, if Minnesota can beat either Penn State or Iowa, one of the two, I prefer them to beat Iowa. But either way, although Iowa's sitting at number 23, but if they can get to 8-0 before they play Penn State, chances are they'll go from 20th to maybe, 16th in the next 2 weeks. You get a couple of losses in the top 25. They continue to rise. That way, by the time the Badgers face them, they're not out of the top 25. It's another good win because they play at Wisconsin this year. And it's another good win for the Badgers. Yeah, I'm all about the Badgers at this point. I'm all about the Badgers playing. Because as much as I want to see them – it wouldn't kill me to see them beat Penn State. If you have to flip-flop one of them, getting Penn State in Minnesota, I'd rather see them beat Penn State and have that strength of schedule win than knock off Iowa and knock Iowa out of the top 25. Just thinking out loud here. I'd rather see them lose to Iowa on the road and beat Penn State at home. Penn State then drops a little bit. That way it isn't such a strength of schedule by the time you start to compare Wisconsin and Ohio State at the end of the season either. 855-830-8648. If you want to chime in, feel free to do it. We got to talk some Bucks basketball. Jim Paschke, television voice, your Milwaukee Bucks, going to be joining us. We're going to take a preview of the season, take a look at what this team's all about. Also, Bledsoe right now down with that oblique strain. Not an oblique strain. He's got the broken rib. We're going to talk about that as well. And talk about I'm going to call it the revenge season of the Milwaukee Bucks after getting beat in the Eastern Conference Finals and Giannis going to management going, keep this band together and I'll win you something. I want to talk about all of that. That is next on the Bill Michaels Show.
You're listening to the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
I've been telling you for a while now about my friends at Van Horn Automotive. Great people. And can't say enough about the service. Let's face it, a lot of people can buy and sell cars for kind of a similar price. However, Van Horn offers a couple of things. One being the 90-day test drive. Exclusively at Van Horn. Take it for 90 days. Take it. Put it through its paces. If you want a bigger vehicle, smaller vehicle, or that one is just right, take it. Van Horn Automotive. Go to VanHornAuto.com. 15 dealerships, many different makes, models, new, used. They've got it all. See what qualifies for the 90-day test drive by going to Van Horn Automotive. And everybody there is an owner. They all have skin in the game. Employee-owned. Family-born, but employee-owned. That's Van Horn Automotive. Go out and just tell them I sent you. And just ask for the Bill Michaels deal. It's just a great place to work with. I've bought some cars over the years, and I finally got into this thing, and I've gone through a couple of trucks now, and I'm just enjoying it. It's been a great experience. And they keep checking back with you. Hey, everything good? You okay? Yeah, I'm great. Thank you very much. Great people over there at Van Horn Automotive. Go to VanHornAuto.com. Speaking of great people, the greatest of the greats, our voice and television play-by-play guy for the Milwaukee Bucks, and looking forward to a huge season yet again, Jim Paschke joining us. Jim, how you been?
I'm great, Bill. Good morning.
I am excited, not just because there's a winning basketball team, but just because last year was kind of peeling that ribbon off of the Fiserv Forum, and now with everything that's gone on around there, Jim, it's gone from being a basketball game to a basketball experience now. It's just, and I know you're down there all the time, but just walking through that area, man, is that not, you saw the vision, and you kind of saw it in renderings, and you thought, yeah, that's kind of cool, but now you walk through there, you're like, holy mackerel, this is Milwaukee, isn't it?
It's amazing, Bill. Every time I walk on that plaza or walk around Fiserv Forum, I just kind of pause and marvel at what has taken place. It's incredible. And, you know, Milwaukee really kind of got a kickstart when construction started on the new building, and I think the entire city is feeling the vibe now, and it's wonderful. It's just, this has always been a great city, and I think it's just terrific when we have things going on the way we do, and it's growing, and it's getting even better than it has been.
Hey, I want to ask you if you remember this, and I'm going down memory lane here for buildings now, so it's completely non-basketball related, but going back to the Eastern Conference Final, when I had a chance to travel with you guys, I remember we were walking in, and we were, remember, because that, what did they play in Philadelphia, the Wachovia Center? Is that what it is, or what is that?
That building has had several names. The Bucks opened that building, and I think it was at that point. I'd have to go back and double check that, but you know, they've had four or five different names for that particular building.
I just remember, because the reason I'm talking about buildings is I remember us walking in, and remember you had to eat behind that curtain. It was a kind of a weird setup, and we walked in. We went, this is a new building? This place was dirty. It just, you know, it looked like it had been used for 30 years, and we were marveling at how well the Bradley Center, the upkeep of the Bradley Center, you could almost eat off the floors at the BC. And now, and we were talking about what a great building it was, and now you look, don't get me wrong, I love the Bradley Center, but my God, this whole facility that this ownership group and the state of Wisconsin has built is just magnificent. I rave about it all the time, and friends come into town, and they go, holy mackerel, this is Milwaukee?
Big time. I mean, it's state-of-the-art. It's the best one in the league. I suppose Golden State is going to try to lay claim to that with their new building this year. You triggered something in me. When I first got to Milwaukee, even before I got here in 1980, I'd come over from Madison, and the Mecca was clean. I mean, it was the cleanest building in the United States. You know, the ladies were in there every day, and the crews and the guys were cleaning, and they kept that place spotless. And that carried over to the Bradley Center. And the same thing is true here. We have pride in this city, and it shows in our buildings, and it's a wonderful thing. And those buildings in the East typically do look a little older sooner than they do in the Midwest. And part of that is because of the extreme usage that they have. And now, of course, Fiserv Forum is in that category with its usage. So it takes a lot to keep a building up, but they're doing a wonderful job with that element here, too.
Okay, now we'll talk some basketball, now that I got the gushing out of the way. So tell me how this team is while Eric Bledsoe is down with the broken rib cartilage, which, by the way, if anybody's ever had strained or sprained or even cracked cartilage, that's almost more painful than breaking a rib.
Well, we have to clarify, no broken bones. You're absolutely right. It's a cartilage, and very painful, I assume. You know, those of us who have had some of those issues over the years know exactly how painful it can be, but, you know, we don't know how painful it is for him. Save for that injury, the Bucks are very deep. I said on the first telecast that we worked this year that I thought they were 12 deep in a very elite manner. I'm extending that, Bill. They're deeper than that. I don't know, you know, how everybody is going to be satisfied. That's a job that Mike Budenholzer handles well. But this team is very deep. You can go to the 16th man, Frank Mason, and say that he deserves playing time. And now he will get playing time early in the season as a backup point guard to George Hill with Bledsoe injured at the moment. So the depth of this team is the overriding, when you get behind the MVP, the depth of the team to me is one of its greatest strengths, if not its greatest strength.
I wanted to ask you, in the offseason, Giannis, and I get it through, you know how it is when you eat at certain places and you dine in certain places and, you know, you see certain people and Giannis comes in and says, keep the band together and I'll win you a championship. Jim, I got to be honest, I'm watching Giannis in an opening game, in a preseason game, dive on the floor, fly under seats. If this guy doesn't look more determined now than ever to win a championship, I don't know when in the future he could possibly look more determined. How about you?
I'm sure there have been elite players in the league that have played with a purpose in the preseason, but in my 34 seasons in the league, I've never experienced or seen anything like what I'm watching in this preseason. Giannis is playing as if he's in the playoffs, if not the finals already. And what a great bit of leadership that is. Stay healthy, young man. Don't overdo it. Mm-hmm. Games that don't count, but he's smart enough. But, Bill, he is just incredibly aggressive in this preseason. He's letting everyone know that he's serious and what the goal is, and the goal is a championship. In Dallas, he had 34 points, 11 rebounds, 3 made threes. I think he hit all his free throws, and he did that in 23 minutes. So ridiculously efficient, ridiculously aggressive. That's why he's the MVP.
Also, the supporting cast. Now, you bring in a lot of different guys. Wesley, you know, I'm thinking there's for one guy that you're looking for, a big shooter, a big guy beyond the arc, I think what you've done is you brought in numerous players that can spread out the ability and the roles of many of one guy. Do you kind of see it the same way? Rather than going out and getting one big name to be a shooter from the outside, you got a bunch of different guys that can do many different roles, that can do many different things that give you depth. Is that a correct assessment?
It is, and I like the fact that, you know, when you shoot the three, and the Bucks saw this as a team, they missed the last 11 threes against Toronto in Game 6. It can evaporate. But when you do it by committee, you have a better chance of not having everyone go cold at the same time. So I like that approach. Wesley Matthews, more made threes than any undrafted player in the history of the NBA. Kyle Korver, fourth in made threes in the history of the NBA. Dragan Bender has come in here, and he can hit threes. We know that. He's fit into this system very quickly. And then you have newcomer Robin Lopez, who is trying to and so far has been fairly effective in hitting threes, and that will get better. So they do it by committee, and it seems like a very sound approach to me.
One of the guys that I thought was going to be an addition to this team and just unfortunately didn't get a chance to last year because of injury, tell me how Dante DiVincenzo looks, because that's another guy that I could say very quietly could come in, give you some points, give you a little bit of scoring beyond the arc.
I think he will have a season we notice this year. If he stays healthy, he has all the talent in the world. The coaching staff really appreciates him. I can't speak for John Horst or the coaching staff, but I think we can maybe think about the possibility that his potential played into whether or not Malcolm Brogdon was going to be kept and retained. Now, the money that Brogdon made was a factor also, because you have to think about what's happening moving forward with Giannis, et cetera. But Dante's upside, I think, allowed the staff and everyone involved to consider that they could rely on that a little bit. And I talked to his college coach, Jay Wright, in Las Vegas this summer during Team USA's workouts, and he said, you know, this kid hasn't been able to show you everything he can do. He thinks he could be a point guard in this league because of his vision, his passing, his ability to handle the ball. We know he can play defense. He has a lot of talent, Bill.
Talking with Jim Paschke, the television voice of your Milwaukee Bucks. Real quick, last question, and that is Eric Bledsoe and Chris Middleton, not a great Eastern Conference Finals. And obviously, Coach Budenholzer, he heard it. He heard all the screaming in the offseason and the people complaining and the people like on our program and such. Is there any kind of a different approach this year or a pressure this year? It's one thing to get there in the regular season, but when the postseason gets here, that's where all the eyes are going to go. Because we know Giannis is Giannis, but those two guys really have to be those big-time contributors. So is there a different approach this year?
Well, I think that Chris Middleton is going to be Chris Middleton. He's a perfect complement to Giannis. I don't see any issues there. If the depth plays through in the playoffs, I don't think we're going to be talking about that. And when it comes to Bledsoe, he's had a couple of playoff runs in the last two seasons where his offense dropped off, but I would suggest that he still plays defense. And that's a critical point with this Bucs defense, because he was in the top five last year in pressuring the ball 30 feet away from the basket. So, you know, point of attack defense, he's very good at that. He puts pressure on the opposing point guard or ball handler, and then the Bucs can play their drop defense with Brook Lopez and do the things they do. So that part is very important, and I don't think that dropped off. People don't see defensive drop-offs the way they see offensive drop-offs. I would suggest that his defense was still very critical in the playoffs. So if they put other players around Eric Bledsoe and maybe there's a slight drop-off offensively, they can cover that up in the long term. But, yes, he's crucial, and his offense is going to be important. And, you know, the more players they have to take pressure off other players, the better it is. So I think everything will be fine. We'll see how it plays out, but that's one area that I'm sure everyone will be watching.
Jim, it's always a pleasure. Great to hear your voice all over again, and look forward to a tremendous season, buddy. We'll talk soon, okay?
Thanks, Bill. Appreciate it every time.
Absolutely. There you go. The great Jim Paschke joining us, the Bucs television voice on Fox Sports Wisconsin. Love getting Jim on the air. It's Paschke Ball, or Paschke Ball, I should say, on Twitter. You can follow him there. Always good stuff. Thanks to him for joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard. They treat you fair. 80-plus years. They've been getting it done. Call them 844-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com. 844-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com. Don't forget, you go to Cousin Subs. You could get yourself an opportunity to get yourself some plush leather recliners and a VIP experience at the 50-yard line of Lambeau Field. Go to packers.com/best seats. Cousin Subs working with the Green Bay Packers to put you right there on the 50-yard line. One of the best experiences in all of football. Again, go to packers.com/best seats. It's brought to you by Cousin Subs, the official sub sandwich of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. More of the Bill Michaels Show is next.
Border to border, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. Now, a green and gold update brought to you by Pottawatomie Hotel and Casino. It's all happening at Pottawatomie. Visit paysbig.com. In Green Bay, here's Mike Clemens.
The Packers are taking the day off from practice. They're going to work out tomorrow and Friday before they host the Raiders on Sunday. Yesterday, the NFL said that Lions defensive tackle Trey Flowers should not have been penalized for a hands-to-face infraction on David Bakhtiari. The Packers' left tackle reacted.
I'll take it, because calls go both ways. Two hands-to-face calls where I'm battling and everyone wants to go any which way. Listen, they're close calls for a reason. That's the best way I'm going to answer that one. They're close calls for a reason. There's a couple players that I played in my career where half the time I'm staring up at the sky, literally the whole game, and this was one of the games where I was looking up at the sky more than I think I was actually looking, seeing my actual defender.
Packers rookie receiver Darius Shepherd had a rough night against the Lions. A pass from Aaron Rodgers bounced off his face mask and turned into an interception. Shepherd also muffed a punt return that set up another Lions field goal. Packers head coach Matt LaFleur after watching the game tape from Monday night.
Obviously, on the punt return, he's got to make a better decision. You know, he was out of position for catching the ball. We never want our punt returners putting their hands over their head to catch a football. So if you ever get in that position, either try to get out of the way, or he's got to, at worst case scenario, he got a fair catch that.
That's Matt LaFleur in Green Bay. I'm Mike Clemens on the Bill Michaels Show.
Peace up. Peace A-Town. Down.
Welcome back. Bill Michaels Show on the air. We are glad to have you. This portion of the program brought to you by our friends at New Mail Medical. New Mail Medical, treating guys with ED all over the state of Wisconsin and beyond the borders. They have a 98% success rate, guys, and we know that the indoor activities are going to become more prevalent. You know what I'm saying? If you're suffering, or maybe you know somebody who's suffering, you're the partner of somebody who's suffering, call the medical experts. Call them right now, 414-455-4451. You can't do anything if you don't call. Plus the low T treatments for more energy, better mental clarity, better mood, better stamina. They can help you out there. And the all-in-one weight loss program, yes, it works. And I'm kind of back on it. I started heavily again this week, so feeling really good. It's amazing what a couple of days will do once you start to clean out the system, so to speak. So, and it works. I'm living proof of that. 414-455-4451. 414-455-4451. That is the New Mail Medical Center. So, you've got Major League Baseball. Kudos to the Washington Nationals. And we'll get into this later in the offseason, but I'll tell you what. I look at the Brewers, and I start to compare. you talk about just rotations of pitching and starting pitching, which even emphasizes to me more that they need to go out and get another starting pitcher. But Steven Strasburg has not lost this postseason. He has been dominant. So Gerrit Cole won yesterday. So the Astros now take a 2-1 lead tonight. In honor of my buddy Carmelo. Carmelo out there at the Calderon Club North out there in Port Washington. In honor of my buddy Carmelo, I will be eating Italian meatballs tonight watching the Yankees-Astros game as they go back to the Bronx. So they're going to be in New York tonight. Right now, Houston leading that series 2-1. Astros trying to do everything they can to close this thing out. So I'm going to be I'll eat a meatball tonight, a little spaghetti and meatballs tonight, watching the Yankees. Not that I'm really rooting for the Yankees, because I think a lot of people like to see the fresh blood of the Astros. But the Yankees tore it down and built it back up and spent a little money, and they're right back there. So for a while, they weren't in it. They were a team that was suffering like a lot of other teams. So I'm not overwhelmingly rooting one way or the other. I think America would like to see, you know, somebody like the Astros, but the Astros have a recent World Series win, you know? So I don't know who you're rooting for tonight, but the Washington Nationals are waiting on the opposite side of the spectrum saying, hey, bring it on, bring it on, let's go. So you got Houston and the Yankees coming up tonight. Was that game actually postponed today because of rain in New York? I think it was. I think that game was scheduled for today. I think it's been postponed. I think it's going to be played tomorrow, if I'm not mistaken. I think I could be, 7:08 tomorrow night because of all the rain. Zach Greinke is going to go to the Hill tomorrow for the Houston Astros. I don't know who's going to be playing for the. So I'll save the meatballs for tomorrow night. As the rain, I just got the update. It just kind of came across my my ticker here. So that game postponed. No baseball tonight. Bad weather in New York. I think every stadium north of the Mason-Dixon line should be domed. Just my thought. Got a lot more coming up. Stay tuned. National Baseball Insider Seth Everett next. See you.
16 stations strong. The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.